Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
A mid-morning dance with the devil.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Get up-to-the-minute news flashes, instant reaction and expert analysis from some of the biggest names in Westminster.
Order!
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Live from Westminster on Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio, coming live right at you here on the green back at Westminster for a fourth day because, of course, time waits for no one. The government still seems to be struggling and straining its way through the Brexit negotiations, and that's only with its own cabinet. Just when you thought it couldn't get any more ridiculous down here, the mother of all parliaments, Theresa May endured perhaps her greatest humiliation yet last night when her authority drained away almost as quickly as her voice is disappearing. The Prime Minister suffered yet another defeat in the House of Commons when her own cabinet ministers refused to do as they were told and helped Labour block a no-deal Brexit. She lost by just four votes, but the fact that she couldn't even rely on her closest colleagues tells us everything about the sorry state of her leadership. Nevertheless, though, she fights on like some kind of indestructible zombie, and we hear this morning that she may well be preparing to present her Brexit withdrawal deal for a third time next week. And guess what? She might even have a position actually strengthened. Today, there's more plotting and manoeuvring, and we'll bring you every twist and turn right here from the mother of all parliaments. 0344 499 1000. As usual, we'll have a host of pundits and politicians on the show this morning, but most importantly, we want to hear from all of you as well. You're listening to me, Mike Graham, on Talk Radio, live from Westminster.
The fallout, the fury, the future.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Live from Westminster.
Order!
On Talk Radio.
A very good morning to you and welcome back to the Tent of Shame here on Westminster's College Green, where today there will be more shenanigans going on behind the scenes, in front of the scenes. There'll be people throwing themselves into the river. There'll be people making all kinds of promises. Some people trying to kill off the Prime Minister. Other people trying to kill off other sections of the party. The Labour Party still arguing whether or not there's time for a second referendum. There's been a new amendment put forward. Today, I'm delighted to say, we start the show off with two stalwarts of Westminster, Mr John Mann, Labour MP for Bassett Law, and Alberto Costa, Tory MP for South Leicestershire. Morning to both of you, gentlemen.
Morning.
Good morning.
Now, let's start with Alberto, first of all. Alberto, I mean, you're a guy who resigned your ministerial job on the basis that you didn't feel happy about an amendment that was going on to do with EU citizenship and EU membership of people living in this country and people from here living in the rest of Europe as well. Suddenly, last night, we get a bunch of ministers who refuse to do what they're supposed to do on a three-line whip. How do you feel about that?
Well, of course, I put forward an amendment. Yeah. It was called the Cost Amendment, and the convention is, as a junior ministerial aide, if you put forward an amendment, you are meant to resign. So that is what happened. And my amendment was unanimously passed by the House of Commons and indeed had the full support of the government. And it was the first time in the last 2.5 years during this Brexit debate that the House of Commons actually coalesced, Mike, around something very positive, which was to protect the rights of British citizens living in the EU and EU nationals living here in the United Kingdom. And I think that was something I'm very proud of, and I'm very proud that the House of Commons came around. Now, look, what happened last night, actually, it's funny, there's always perhaps sometimes method in madness. And
there's plenty of madness, I don't see very much method.
Well, indeed, but this morning it is strongly arguable that the Prime Minister is in a much better place than she was this time yesterday. And the reason I say that is that she's putting forward an amendment, a motion rather, today, which makes clear that she will be bringing forward another meaningful vote, third vote, next week, And the choice for those that have not voted for that deal, and I know that John has voted for it, I voted for the deal, the choice is this. If we do not vote for a smooth and orderly exit out of the EU, we may not have Brexit. So I think those who have not voted for the Prime Minister's deal on the basis that they want some sort of pure, ideologically driven exit, they might lose what they fought for, in many cases, for decades. So I would urge them, and I would urge your listeners actually, to contact those MPs that have not backed the Prime Minister to say, look, get on with it, back the PM next week, back our deal, pass it in the House of Commons, and let's get out of the EU respecting the EU referendum result.
OK, Albert. So, well, let's talk to John Mann here, because, John, you have been what can only be described as a bit of a thorn in the side of the Labour Party over these votes that you've been going for with the government. And
With the people.
With the people. Well, I mean, that depends on which people you're talking about.
I'm talking about the majority.
Well, we get a lot of people who call us and say it's all very well saying that we can't leave without a deal, but actually most of them are quite happy to leave without a deal. Now, the argument, of course, is that they may not understand the wherewithal and the ins and outs of all of that going on. Do you see the Prime Minister as being more strengthened this morning than she was yesterday?
Well, ironically, weakness in getting a vote through is a strength sometimes. So if the Prime Minister was too strong but not strong enough, she'd have no chance. Mm. The fact that she's weak, ironically, makes it somewhat more likely that she could get a deal through. The maths are very simple. A no deal, which was basically booted out last night, but on an actual vote on legislation, would go down 3 or 4 to 1 in here. I've put down with others and instigated an amendment today to try and knock the referendum on the head.
Yes, I saw that, yeah.
Because there is no majority, in my view, but we want to prove that one way or other. If there's a majority for a referendum, then there'll be one. Parliament will decide and that'll be the law. I don't think there is. I think that should be knocked on the head. Then we're in a stronger position to say, look, there is a deal. People keep calling it the Prime Minister's deal. It's the EU's deal as well. That's a weakness as well as a strength. Mm. But the beauty of it is that we can go as an independent country, go our own way, without creating massive amounts of hassle for business, that means job losses, less tax coming in, and for every one of your listeners. So that, you know, I don't want to be in a situation where someone's trying to go on holiday in Spain and they need a load of paperwork they can't get there, or if they're there, they're ill, they can't go in a hospital, or if they they die there, they can't get the
I'm
body
one of those
back,
people,
that kind of stuff.
I'm one of those people
normal
that's old
life.
Enough.
Normal life.
Well, I'm one of those people
that's
old
continue.
Enough to remember going to Spain before we were in the European community, and actually it wasn't a problem at all. We used to get on a ferry in Southampton, arrive in Bilbao in a British car with GB all over it. We had an international driving licence, and away we went.
You
and
were
we
lucky.
That was
the
a
way,
deal.
And we
that
went
was,
all the way down to Valencia.
And in that, there were several deals. One deal is about whether ferries can go in certain waters. That was a deal, or several deals at the time. There was a deal on whether that ferry could dock in Spain. That was a deal. There was a deal whether you were allowed into Spain and back into the...
I was only
that
nine,
was
but
deal.
I wasn't much of a danger.
There was an extra deal on whether children and children's passports would be allowed.
Yeah, but that was all there, though, wasn't it?
It was, but and that can be there in the future. Mm-hmm. But it can't... When people say no deal, we're actually talking tens of thousands of individual deals just for that kind of stuff
sure.
to happen.
No, I get that.
And that's why...
But inevitably it would happen, wouldn't
could it?
Could
it be done? Inevitably it would, but how long would it take? My estimate, and I've done a lot of talking and researching in this, it would be about 10 years. So we'd have 10 years of problems. And the biggest problem isn't actually whether me or you can get into Spain. It's whether businesses can carry on trading and whether we don't get done over by the Germans and the French, who'll use this as an opportunity to knacker our industry in that 10 years.
Yeah.
That's why I'm in favour of having a deal. After 10 years, we'll have gone our own way. Exactly. We'll be an independent country. They'll be the European Union. We'll still talk to each other, but they won't be telling us what to do. We won't be telling them what to do. We'll be living life normally. I just want to make sure it's smooth and none of your listeners, and critically, none of their jobs and messed up by doing it. That's achievable.
Okay. Well, at the moment, it's not very smooth. At the moment, many of them would say that the shenanigans going on behind us here in the Palace of Westminster are causing their lives untold ruin. But that's another story
altogether.
Well,
we'd agree with that.
You probably would. And probably your lives are being caused ruin as well. Alberto, what do you think the EU is up to today when Donald Tusk comes out and says, basically, completely against the run of play, you might say, we're happy to offer a long extension of Article 50, providing Britain wants to go away and come back with a better deal, which they can all agree on?
Well, before I answer that, just, Mike, you were talking about your childhood going to Spain. The difference between our childhoods 40-odd years ago is that there are tens of millions of passenger movements on low-cost area carriers alone. Things are a hundredfold more complex today than they were 40 years ago. And John's absolutely right. It would take at least a decade to get all these individual arrangements done.
This is why the deal is so important.
And
let me just ask you a question. If it's going to take a decade to do all those things individually, what makes you think you can do them all collectively in 10 days?
Because it's in the interests of both the EU and the United Kingdom. That's why we have a deal. And John's absolutely right. I totally agree with him. Let's get this deal done. It's a divorce agreement. That's all it is. It will then give us the opportunity to discuss what we actually want as a future with the EU. And we've got an enormous amount of opportunity and we can work cross-party. And importantly, I think we should bring in your listeners and bring in the country into this debate. What type of
They're
future...
They're in it every day.
What type of future... I'm glad because I listened to your show. What type of future relationship do we want with the European Union? That is yet to be discussed.
Yes.
And I look forward to
that
debate.
But most of our listeners, and I don't wish to speak for all of them because obviously they're not all speaking as one, but most of them will say things like, well, the Germans are not going to not sell us cars, you know, the French are not going to want to sell us champagne, the Italians are not going to want to give up all the Prosecco that they give us because we are a massive export for them. And that's not going to suddenly dry up, is it?
No, but the danger is, as a lawyer, we're talking about coming out of a legal system. It's not a question of drying up or not, is what will the legal system be without a deal?
Yes. Well, so I've worked with loads of lawyers in my time, and I can tell you they are the greatest people on earth for stopping anything from happening. They do not make things happen. They just stop them from happening.
You know, when you want to buy a house, you go to a lawyer.
Only
if
you
you're
have
in
to.
Trouble with the law, you go to a lawyer.
Only you
you're
have
always
to.
The last one to criticise a lawyer when you need them.
Listen, I've got lots of lawyers who are friends of mine, you know, but they themselves would admit that they are all about the detail. They're all about picking up little bits and pieces and finding ways to frustrate
the
rest
of
us.
John's point was very valid. He simply said...
Feel free to jump in, John, at any time, by the way. There's no law here on being nice.
Well, actually, John explained it well about all the arrangements that would be needed. Look, let's get out of the EU. We've got a deal on the table. Let's get out of the EU and then allow John and myself and then the rest of the country to debate in the months ahead what sort of future relationship we actually
also,
want with the EU.
What the listeners need to understand, because it's a fact, the Germans will sell us their cars for as long as we'll buy them. Might cost more, but they'll sell us them. But are they going to allow us just to go sell all our stuff there? Of course they're not. You see, what we do is we actually throw them a huge advantage if we don't have a deal. Because they can say, well, hang on a minute, we'll do your deal on cars. And we'll be saying, well, we want to do a deal on banking or on oil or on gas. They ain't got any. We've got some to sell. Well, that's the point of all these different deals. What this deal does is it keeps what's there in terms of the basic stuff while we negotiate all the minutiae. And that minutiae is critical.
Yes.
It's every little bit. It's whether you can get into Spain on a ferry, whether that ferry can cross the water, whether it can dock. All those routine stuff we take for granted.
I got into Burt Reynolds' back garden when I was working in America, right? So don't worry about me getting into Spain. Nobody's going
to
stop me.
Do you want to advertise that, Mike?
Well, he's dead now, so I mean, there's nothing you can do.
Never speak ill of the dead.
I'm not speaking ill of the dead.
I was saying, and the arrest warrants is another one.
That was it's also statute of limitations, as you lawyers would know. It's gone way, way, long way, way. Here's the thing, though. I mean, we all believe that that commerce exists outside of politics. Politics does not create commerce. Commerce creates a great many things, including a of jobs, and it's still being seen by loads of people, and I take both your points on board, and you're both not speaking anything but the truth, but an awful lot of people out there are so frustrated. I mean, you will know, John, that I hear every single day these parliamentarians are wasting their time, they're wasting our time, we're never going to vote for the two main parties again. There's a lot of that out there.
Of course there is. Listen, how do you think we feel?
Yeah, well,
we're dealing with these people in here, sat on the majority, sitting on the fence, playing their games, still doing it today. And And if I may say, the media giving them plenty of space to talk their
This is how you find solutions, isn't it?
You know, whereas what we're saying is, get on
with it.
We've got
Unity, Labour
let's
MP,
move,
can
let's
t-
move
Unity.
On.
Listen, you
let's
guys should join the you guys should join the issues. The ticker, shouldn't you? I mean, you guys
no,
are lining up
not,
for that.
Not,
by the looks of it.
John and I absolutely agree on this for one very simple reason. We absolutely understand what's in the best interest of our country and our constituents and your listeners. And what's in the best interest is we respect the referendum result. We come out of the EU in a smooth and orderly manner. Let's just get on with it. That is the message that Theresa May has. That's the message that John has. That's the message that I have. And actually, I think most of your listeners just want us to get on with it
they
in
do.
A smooth and orderly
That's
manner.
True.
And let me get on then with battling for the NHS,
exactly.
schools, mm-hmm. you know, where me and Alberta may well be in totally different camps and arguments on the big issues that are not being dealt with in this country.
Yeah.
You know, policing, law and order, crime, how we deal with that. Massive issues.
Yep. Yes.
Instead, we have these people sat on their hands in here, day in, day out, trying to be cleverer than one another with this parliamentary procedure or that parliamentary procedure.
People don't understand.
Get on with it, vote it through, and let's get on with our lives.
Exactly.
And let the country get on with its lives.
Absolutely right. And tell us about what's going to happen tonight, because there's going to be more kind of, you know, intrigue, I suppose you might say. There's going to be more ducking and diving, you know, deals being done behind the scenes. We're hearing that it may well be that the Article 50 extension doesn't get a win tonight.
Well, look, I'm going to be supporting the Prime Minister. Let's be very clear. The Prime Minister's come out with what
is
I consider...
Is she going to change her mind again, as she did yesterday?
I don't think she changed her mind. She had no choice, because the amendment which both John and I voted against and which Caroline Spelman wanted to withdraw from, that amendment became the substantive government motion. So, and I then abstained from that. So where we are is this. The motion that the Prime Minister is putting forward is back her deal next week, and all we need is a small extension, which the EU will grant.
But
and I think your listeners will accept.
I
think your listeners.
Deal?
I think your listeners will accept a small extension, if only to get this deal over the line and get the necessary legislation in place. And by small extension, I'm talking about weeks, a couple of months, nothing longer than that.
So you wouldn't anticipate us being in the May elections for Europe, then?
I hope not. I hope not. I hope the House of Commons does not put...
We'd better not
That's
be.
Indeed.
Well, that'll save us a few, Bob, as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, can you imagine...
I mean, I don't think I could stand it. I think I'd have to emigrate
to
Spain.
I'll tell you...
Might cost you more.
Let me just let the listeners know. If that happens, I'll be on strike for that period of time.
Right.
I'll be happy to donate my salary to charity, but I shall go on holiday. European elections.
Europe
you
or
must
elsewhere?
Be.
Outside of Europe? Where you go?
I might go to America.
Oh, okay.
Trade envoy.
If they'll give me a visa.
If
Donald lets me in.
Well, there we go. There's another good example where I go to America an awful lot. We've got a visa waiver program there. You pay them something
that's
like 12.
It just shows you it's possible to do, isn't it? It took a couple of years to sort out. It's a good agreement.
We've always had that. We've always had the ability to go to America on holiday, and sometimes you had to fill out a form, and sometimes you didn't.
Hey, listen, you know well. You used to have to queue for ages to get in. Now
you still do.
It's quicker. I lived in America.
You land at JFK, right?
I'll have a word about
the kind of visa you need to get. No,
exactly.
you land at JFK.
I got in with you 3 minutes last time.
You go to the posh.
I had to marry an American woman to do that, for heaven's sake. That's another story with more lawyers involved. But we're not going to go there.
Again, you go to the lawyers when you need them.
Well, you have to. Now, finally, sorry, guys, because we're running out of time. My producer's starting to make noises that I should shut up, but I've got 3 hours of this. John, what are you going to do tonight? Who are you going to vote for?
I shall vote for anything that gets this deal through and gets us out of the EU.
Okay. John Mann, Alberto Costa, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Cheers.
I want to hear from some of you out there. These guys, most lively two we've had all week, I think. 0344 499 1000. And they're on the same page, and they're from different parties. There is a future for Brexit. This is Talk Radio.
Get up to the minute news flashes, instant reaction, and expert analysis.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Live from Westminster.
Order!
On Talk Radio.
Well, Welcome back to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here in Westminster. We're down on College Green where the sun has miraculously come back out again. We've had a downpour, so it looked a bit dark there for a moment. It's a bit like being Theresa May at the moment, I suspect. Just when you think everything's going to go just quite fine for you, suddenly it all goes horribly wrong. The heavens open and you get soaking wet and you have to go back and change your coat. She's been given a hard time, by the way, for wearing what she calls a lucky coat because it's not a very nice coat. This coming from Janet Street Porter, by the way. What I don't mind is what sort of coat she wears, but I certainly wouldn't call it lucky, because she doesn't appear to be very lucky at the moment. Here's one from Sirius, who says, why was that woman telling leavers they all had different ideas of what leave meant? It meant one thing to leave the European Union. What is confusing about that? And Jane says, we could have a referendum on whether we wish the current parliament to continue. Yes, we carry on with them. If no, then we have a general election. Well, I'm joined now by Caroline Lucas, who is sitting currently in the parliament, and is, of course, with the Green Party from Brighton. Caroline, a very good, well, it's not quite afternoon, but a very nice sunny morning.
At the moment, it is.
Very nice to see you. Very changeable weather at the moment. Very changeable over there in the House of Commons as well.
It is.
You were there last night. You voted, I believe, to reject a no-deal option on Brexit. You've also voted not to back Theresa May's deal. There's talk now that she's going to bring it back for a third time. Presumably, you'll vote against that again.
I will, and I think probably a majority in Parliament will. I mean, I just think the way that she is shamelessly trying to blackmail MPs into supporting a deal that they've already turned down twice, both time in historic proportions, is quite incredible. So I think that she needs to change course. I think at the very least what she needs to do is to put her deal to the people, because she's not going to get it through Parliament, so let's see what the people think about it. But certainly she's shameless, she is out of control, and she's playing political games.
If there was a different deal, would you see yourself ever voting for something like that? I mean, what sort of deal would you like to see for her producing, if you like? I mean, if she was to get into a conversation with the other parties and the opposition and maybe try and find some way forward, what sort of deal would you agree to?
Well, I think at the very least it needs to do what they promised that this one was supposed to do, which was to deliver the exact same benefits. And yet in the 2.5, almost 3 years since the 2016 referendum, I think it's become very clear that there is no deal out there that is going to have the exact same benefits. So I think they should probably accept that they have sold something on a false prospectus, because they told us that we would be able to have all of this extra money, that we would have the exact same benefits, that there would be frictionless trade. No one was talking then about the dangers of a hard border in Ireland, you know, and all of these things have become apparent since that 2016 referendum result. So that is why I say again that it needs to go back to the people so that they can make a judgment in the light of the new information that we all have.
But all the people could then do would be to say they didn't like this particular deal. It wouldn't necessarily negate what they'd already asked to do, which would be to leave the European Union, surely.
Well, they asked to leave the European Union, but notwithstanding what some of your listeners said a moment ago, it isn't actually that clear what that meant, and that's made very obvious by the fact that you've got people like Boris Johnson, who absolutely hate the Prime Minister's deal. Nonetheless, that was a deal that he had a part in negotiating, then David Davis did, then Dominic Raab did. You know, they've had some pretty strong Brexiters trying to negotiate this thing. If this is the best they've been able to come up with, then it feels to me that that tells the country that is the best you're going to be able to do. So therefore, it doesn't seem unreasonable to me for that to be the thing that goes to the country to be voted on. And if people like it, then let's use the Kyle Wilson Amendment. This is that amendment, you might remember, that means that whatever happens in that referendum goes instantly into law. It doesn't run any risk of having a third referendum or a fourth or a fifth. Mm. Essentially, if that deal were put to the people, if they want it, then it happens, and if they don't, then we remain.
But I just had a conversation with Stephanie Lloyd from Progress, and I said, if you were going to be that specific about how we leave, wouldn't you have to also be specific about how we remain? Because a lot of people want to leave because they didn't like the arrangement that currently exists between us and the European Union, for good or ill. But you say you open another sort of can of worms there by trying to get people to be very specific. And I think what we have found from all of these negotiations is that you can't find two people who agree on one thing. I mean, everybody wants something different, and you can't in the end do anything about that other than to try and hold it all together, which is what she's tried to do. I'm not saying she's done a great job of it, but that's what she's been sort of, you know, tasked with doing. And she hasn't been helped by Parliament, because Parliament has continually put obstacles in her way.
Well, I would say she probably could have got a majority. She wouldn't have won my vote for it, but she probably could have got a majority if she had reached out and got rid of some of her red lines. And then there might be a majority in Parliament, for all I know, for a much softer Brexit if she'd done that at the beginning, rather than constantly giving way to the more extreme members of her own party, the ERG and so forth. So she made a political decision there about how she wanted to run her strategy. But we are where we are, and you're quite right. Parliament does seem incapable of of coming up with a consensus over what it does want. And to be honest, that just reinforces my view that that is why it needs to go back to the people. Parliament has been wrestling with this for nigh on 3 years, including having very prominent Brexiteers in the driving seat. This is the best they've managed to come up with. It's a mess in my view, but nonetheless, let's see what people think about it.
But you're supposed to be the sort of professional negotiators. You know, you're the guys that are professional politicians. You're supposed to be the ones that find ways through various kind of problems, which are ideological or otherwise. How would you expect the British people to take that on if you guys haven't been able to do it for 2.5 years?
I think that we can't do it because there are different views being asserted about what the British yeah. people want. So, you know, you'll have one person saying that the 17.4 million people who voted Leave meant, you know, the most extreme Brexit possible, out of the customs union, out of the single market, hard border in Ireland. You'll have others who have a very different view. And I know that because I've been travelling around the country talking to people who voted Leave. And I know there are, you know, many hundreds of different yeah. reasons that people voted Leave.
And that's not going to change,
so,
is it?
But it means that you can't try to encapsulate that by 650 people in Parliament. It means that we need to go back to the people
but in a way,
so that they have their view.
But that's your job, though, right? Because you're never going to change that. There is still going to be people who have different views of why they want to leave Europe,
but you'll have a
what
better...
sort of way they want to leave Europe. But they want to leave. There's only one way to encompass all of their thoughts, and that is to say, in one sentence, we're leaving.
Well, I think that it would be more accurate, more reflective of true public opinion to go out to the country again so that you've got many more voices being heard in that vote. But I also think that the people's vote enables us to move forward, because right now, as we keep saying, however much we might wish it otherwise, however much, you know, people might feel frustrated with MPs, and I completely understand that, the last few weeks have demonstrated that we haven't managed to find a way forward. So in order to give certainty to the businesses up and down the country that are tearing their hair out, businesses in Brighton that have been talking to me saying they just don't know how to make investment decisions, how to plan into the future because everything is so unknown, it feels to me that the least worst option, and there are no good options from where we are right now, but the least worst option would be to go back to the people and get their view.
And what about tonight? There's going to be a whole selection of different things that are sort of a cornucopia, if you like, of amendments and different things that you can vote for and against and all the rest of it. What's going to happen tonight and what's your role in it?
Well, we haven't had the Speaker's selection of the amendments yet, so we don't know which of those cornucopia of amendments we'll actually get to vote on. I think the crucial ones are the ones that establish that we need some kind of extension to Article 50. And I think, you know, the Prime Minister herself would acknowledge that even if we were to, you know, even if there were to be a majority for her deal next week, all of the extra laws that would need to be changed in time for the 29th of March couldn't be done in that time period. So the bottom line is we're going to need an extension. So what will happen tonight is a debate about the length of that extension, I think. And in my view, we shouldn't time limit it. We should have the time that's needed in order to find a resolution to this.
There so are yours isn't sort of to infinity, as it were.
I don't think the Commission will give us to infinity and beyond, but they might give us to the end of the year, for example,
right,
which would seem to me a more reasonable amount of time in order to be able to have time, for example, to put whatever deal comes back to the people. There are also amendments on there which are about a people's vote. I don't feel this week is about that. I think that's more likely to happen next week. And I think what we'll be able to demonstrate next week is that there are certainly more people who would support a people's vote than would support her deal. And that is a step forward.
OK, Caroline Lucas, thank you very much indeed.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
The fallout, the fury, the future.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
Live from Westminster.
Order!
On Talk Radio.
Now, it's very nice to see both of you sitting here in the Talk Radio Tent of Shame once again. Luckily, we've been able to move out of it slightly because the rain has stopped falling. David Wooding, of course, a long-time mate of mine, unfortunately also a Liverpool fan. Every time we book him, it's just after a massive Liverpool victory. I don't know how you manage it, Mr. Wooding.
Well, we have to have somebody who's doing a good job in Europe at the moment. and thankfully, it's my team.
Well, exactly right. Well, I thought I'd
teams.
Give you...
all four English teams.
Four English teams in Europe. As our sports reporter, Ben, said earlier on, he said at least some people actually want to get into Europe rather than just get out of it all the time. But let's talk to Tim Farron straight away, because, Tim, obviously the Lib Dems, the only party that want to stay in Europe and are only the only party in Parliament that are kind of united, really, on that, because every other party doesn't seem to be united on anything.
No, I mean, from the day that the last referendum took place, I took the view when I was leader that the only way to conclude this democratically was by giving the people the final say on whatever deal the Prime Minister would come up with. I thought that then, I think it even more now. Whatever one thinks of Theresa May's deal, I actually think it is the best she could have got, given the red lines that she set herself. In which case, you put that to the British people. If they like it, then that's the terms on which we leave. And if not, we stay with where we are. I think there isn't a nice, easy way out of this mess. And the referendum on the deal is the least messy, the most democratic and the most straightforward, but still not,
easy. An even better idea, because every time we get anyone on here talking about having a second referendum, Caroline Lucas was here just a few moments ago, they are absolute pelters from our listeners, because they say, no, why should we have to vote twice to get what we want when the Remainers only have to vote once?
So, I understand the simplicity of that argument, and it is simple, and that means it's a good argument, but all the arguments are best the simple, but not always right. And I debunk it simply by this. So let's pick Boris Johnson, Michael Gove as two perfect examples here. They are both utterly committed to leaving, and they both voted in different lobbies throughout this last few weeks, proving that leave was a much vaguer proposition than we think it was.
Yeah, but they're voting politically, aren't they?
One thinks that leave or Brexit is only seen in no deal or something much better from their point of view than Theresa May's deal. And one thinks Theresa May's deal is and always has been Brexit and sufficiently Brexit. There are other people who think we should do a Norway. The point is that leave could mean at least three different things. And that's not knocking anybody who voted leave. The only person I've been pointing the finger at is David Cameron for putting such a vague question on the ballot paper.
But you can't get complicated with referendums.
Well, you shouldn't have referendums in the first place.
You should have said that at the time.
Well, quite. I mean, so people like me voted against the triggering of Article 50, spoke out against this, made sure that we didn't follow suit by offering a referendum in our manifesto. That doesn't mean the British people's opinion on this is anything other than sacrosanct. My problem in all this is that we were set a question in 2016 where Remain, for all its warts and all, was a clear proposition. Leave, as it turns out, isn't. And the very fact that you've got committed Brexiteers, who I respect, are both for and against Theresa May's deal, proves that leave was a vague question, and therefore there isn't a 52% anymore. I don't know what percentage it is, but there'll be some in favour of leaving with no deal, some in favour of Mrs May's deal, some in favour of Norway, some in favour of other stuff. So where's the majority? It's nothing.
But it's your guys. I've said this to every politician sat in that chair. It is your job to make that work.
Or to interpret what the people meant.
It's not your job to interpret it. It's just your job to make it work.
But what work?
Leaving.
But which
version?
It's
very simple.
Doesn't matter. Well, it does to some people.
Well, it doesn't matter to most people because most ordinary people out there just want to leave. But let's talk to David Wooding, who's here. Is this an insoluble problem, David?
Well, it's like one of those mazes that you go into, and every avenue you go down, you come to a dead end, and you look at all the various options, and you find some are saying leadership, some are saying a general election, some are saying extending Article 50, crash out without a deal. Whatever you do, you hit a problem with every single one. So that's the big issue. The other thing is, people tend to see everything through the tinted spectacles of what they voted for. So Remainers say, oh, the only way out of this is a second referendum. And the Leavers say, the only way out of this is to go without a deal. So nobody's... And that, therefore, sums up the whole problem. Compromise. Nobody has been willing to compromise. And MPs over there, there's a growing anger I detect among our readership, and probably your listeners too, who are angry that the MPs haven't been able to deliver what they asked them to do. They're arguing over so many different things. You've got so many shades of red, blue, pink, green, and yellow. You've got the hardline Brexiteers for whom only leaving with an absolute no links to the EU will do. And you've got those who want to stop Brexit altogether. In the middle, you've got people who can't agree on all sorts of things.
And they're all in the wrong for me, Tim, you know, because it is, as I say, and I'm not trying to be unkind here, but it's all about compromise, surely. It's all about finding a middle ground. It's all about making it work. And that's precisely what isn't happening at the moment.
So I think you're right. And I think the problem, I suppose, stems back to two things. First of all, we lost any negotiating strength whatsoever the moment we triggered Article 50 without actually having any kind of pre-negotiations, any kind of pre-deal. We are, you know, free-falling without a parachute at the moment. The other problem simply is that Theresa May set red lines that were far too extreme. So, I voted to remain the EU, but I think I can obviously accept the British people's vote to leave. It was very narrow. If you were a Prime Minister seeking to bring the country together, the one thing you wouldn't do is to set red lines that was only there to appease Jacob Rees-Mogg. You'd instead accept that there are 10% of people on the Rees-Mogg end of things who you were never going to appease, 10% of people who are absolute arch-Remainers, far more than me, who were never going to appease, but 80% of people in the middle who might think, do you know what, that's not exactly what I wanted, but that's about right. And bluntly, that's a Norway. Now, I don't want that, but I also think that is something that many sensible people would settle for. So, yes, the sense that politicians are being too dogmatic, they won't compromise, is absolutely palpable out there, and I share that sentiment.
And what we're hearing this morning, though, from some politicians on both sides of the aisle, is that there may well be a coming together if we get this third reading of the bill, if there is a third vote.
Yeah.
Now, you may differ on that, and you may probably never vote for it, but, I mean, of course, this could have all been different if Theresa May hadn't had that election. And I was laughing at Nick Timothy this morning, writing in the Telegraph, saying it's all her fault. It's actually all his fault, because he called the election.
Yeah.
The only thing he said, culpable to his own part in that disastrous election, was that he helped to devise the social care strategy, where people would lose their houses.
Indeed.
Absolutely right. But, I mean, tell us about what you think is going to happen tonight, David. We were hearing from Ross Kempsall, our political editor, that there's a new amendment kind of currently being sort of put together by Yvette Cooper, which pretty much kicks into the long grass even further any chance of a third vote.
Yeah, well, that of course is, again, what one asks the motives on that one. Is this all about stopping Brexit altogether?
Well, that's the sense, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what one thinks. I mean, MPs have voted to have to leave only with a deal, not to leave without a deal. They've also possibly want to extend Article 50. What are we going to extend that for? If we extend it for 2 years, more uncertainty for business, more things not being done. We're talking about knife crime the other day. What's happening about knife crime? What's happening about our schools? What's happening about our NHS? We don't hear much about that anymore. So all of that is going to be kicked into the background again. So we need to get this sorted fairly quickly. And I think somebody's got to compromise.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
So I think there's a danger of that. Because I think that's a tempting proposition.
Yep.
My sense is that I think there's a chance, don't know what percentage chance, that Theresa May will get her deal through without much more change.
I think it's getting closer to that.
And it's a little bit like, you know, the accused heretic during the Inquisition, eventually confessing to avoid the torture, only to find that next comes the pyre,
yeah.
And being burnt at the stake. So if we think that we get this off the table by voting for this, and that it's all over, we can get back to talking about mental health and trains and all the things that really, really matter, don't kid yourself. That is the entry into the real horror, where we're actually out of the European Union.
Well, you say horror, but I mean, isn't it likely that we should be if we move towards the end result, which is whatever it is that we leave Europe under, and then
so
we
in a customs union we can't get out of, so a rule taker, not a rule maker.
Well, one thing that we've proven, but we can talk about a great many things. I mean, we talk for a living here at Talk Radio.
That's what I understand.
All sorts of stuff. You know, we can throw anything in that you like. But the point is that you surely need to get on the road rather than wait for the traffic light to change to red when you know the traffic light's actually broken. We love all these analogies. Everybody's got one.
If it's a really crap road, don't join it.
If it's a really crap road and it looks like the bridge is a bit dodgy and you don't want to get on the road,
you're probably better off on the roundabout, aren't you?
And then you're better off. Well, that depends on who you are with the roundabout with. But that's another story as well. The bottom line surely is that you need to get to a point where you're getting somewhere. And at the moment, the great British people who voted to leave are seeing you lot not doing your jobs, paid for by us, wasting everybody's time.
So there's the thing, to the greatest British people who voted in two directions, a small majority voted for leave, will like me.
Well, there's more than a million people more.
There's a difference, yeah. But, I mean, so leave won, for sure.
Yeah.
But the point is, you don't then take and interpret, because we've just established earlier on that there are different versions of leave, you don't just then choose to start off by picking the leave that maybe the 10% most committed voted for, your Rees-Moggs and so on. You would find a middle way. And so the thing to remember in all of this is Theresa May's deal is objectionable for lots of good reasons, and it's not just about the backstop. It's about the fact that we're locked in a customs union and we have no say over the rules that are set. We become basically rule takers, not rule makers. This is about giving away control, not taking it back.
But isn't everything negotiable? Also damaging everything is about negotiation, isn't it? And if you're clever and good at it, which I'm not sure anybody in the current government is, you basically negotiate as you go along. And for anyone to say that you're stuck in a customs union forever, you never get out, I think it's nonsense, because surely you negotiate your way out of it over the course of time.
Yeah, so I mean, and that's been much easier if we'd begun these negotiations before stupidly triggering Article 50 for a political reason.
Mm, no, indeed. David, what do you see happening over the course of the next few hours? I mean, it would be nice if we had a clue as to what sorts of meetings were going on at the moment, you know, what kinds of alliances are being made. Are we in a new sort of place, as it were? Are we closer to a deal?
Well, intransigence has been the big word throughout this, whether it be Theresa May and her red lines, the hardliners on both sides of this debate, or the EU themselves, who are not moving and budging. Something's got to give somewhere, and it's a bit like a pressure cooker. Something's going to have to go, and where is the weak link? Will it be Theresa May resigning or being brought down?
Well, she looks finished, doesn't she?
She is finished, but will that happen before we get a breakthrough? Now, I suspect, you know, you had this talks about the DUP, again, also being intransigent in this sorry saga. If they suddenly move over, then that will relieve the pressure in that area and bring a lot of ERG people over, and she could get it across the line. I wrote a piece about 2 months ago saying that she'd probably clinch it 3 days before perhaps the 29th. Who knows?
Well, I keep asking everyone when the 11th hour actually is, and when the final minute of that 11th hour is, and everybody's got a different answer.
But Theresa May actually said it herself. You know, the MPs have voted to take no deal off the table, but they don't say what they do want. And, you know, if the government can't get a deal with the EU, having got some kind of formula of their own, and the EU saying, no, you can't have that, you've got to have this, how can a parliament get that deal?
I agree. And I think, you know, it's important, all this, to be clear about what it is you are in favour of, not just being against stuff. And, you know, people will disagree with me, but I am clear that Theresa May's deal is about as good as she could have got given the red lines she set herself. But you'd never vote for it, would you? Well, I would vote for it if it was to be put to the people. And I think that's the way out of this. My sense is that there's got to be compromise, but you've got to be clear about the thing that you want to achieve at the same time. The thought that another referendum makes this more drawn out is to ignore the fact that if she picks an option, or if Parliament picks an option, that maybe two-thirds of those people who voted Leave don't like, then the legitimacy will not be there. There'll be all sorts of complaints about betrayal and treachery from within the Brexit camp, And the only way to settle this is about to say, it's to the British people, this is the best that the Prime Minister could get. Would you like to leave on those terms, or should we leave, or should we stay with what we've currently got? That is not a perfect solution. It's just the least.
It's not an acceptable solution, because the people who have already voted, who said they want to leave,
democracy be unacceptable?
It's not more democracy. It is a blight of democracy. Because what you should do, and here's where you get the clever bit from me, right?
Go on.
Here's what you do. You don't give them the choice of Remain or May's deal. You just ask them if they want to leave with May's deal.
Or nothing at all.
No, you don't give them any other choice. You just say, do you like this deal? Shall we leave with this deal? And if they say no by a majority of one, then I'm afraid she has to go and get a better deal.
So just keep that makes it go on even longer.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
But it's fairer, because you can't say to people they want to remain where we are. Because I said this to Caroline Lucas, if you want to be specific about how you leave, you also have to be specific about how you remain.
Yeah.
And you can't be specific about how you remain, because you don't know what the EU are going to turn into in the next 15 years.
In a sense, we know what the deal is, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, but you don't know what remain means, do you?
Well, we know what it means at this moment.
Oh, I see. Oh, so you want to be specific about leaving, but you don't want to be specific about remaining.
But we know what the EU is, warts and all. By the way, because it's there, it exists.
Well, it doesn't change.
And by the way,
we knew what it was in 1975 as well. It's a lot different now.
Well, we know what it is in 2019. And by the way, I'm somebody who's a pro-Europe Eurosceptic. I resigned from my party's front bench 10 years ago when we had one. Because I'm somebody who believes we should be in the European Union, but is critical of many of the things that it does. I just think leaving is very, very dangerous to our economy, our security and our significance in the world. Doesn't mean I'm not prepared to accept what the British people say. The problem is, as Parliament is now proving, indeed the Brexit camp are now proving, David Cameron asked a criminally vague question. And that's why we're in the mess now. I don't particularly want to point the finger.
What should the question have been?
Well, you'd need to be very clear about what leave actually meant.
What would the question have been?
Well, so you'd have to negotiate some kind of exit strategy before you put it to the British people. The SNP, I'll knock them for many things, but when they had their referendum on independence, they produced a 700-page document on what an independent Scotland would actually
lost.
And they lost, but at least people were voting for something that was clear. All that the Leave campaign was basically a lie on a bus.
Lie on a bus?
That was your line. That was what you're for or against.
Yeah. Well, we haven't got time to debate that, unfortunately, any further, but I quite like to talk about lying on buses, but that's another story.
Do I lie in the sun, to be honest?
Lie in the sun, that's another one. David Wooding, thank you very much indeed. Tim Fallon, thank you very much indeed.
The Human Zoo, where they don't hide away the sick animals.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham.
On Talk Radio.
You are everything that I wanted. We were meant to be, supposed to be, but we lost it. All of the memories so close to me just fade away. All this time you were pretending.
This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. We're live down in Westminster. The debate is underway already. It's going to take place from now until about 5 o'clock, when they're going to vote on Article 50 and all the various amendments which are going to go through. John Bercow, the Speaker's chair, of course, the most important of which, as Ross Kempsall pointed out to us, has been put in by Hilary Benn and Yvette Cooper and Oliver Letwin. These are the people who want to basically stop Brexit from happening altogether. They make no secret of it. They don't appreciate the fact that 17.4 million people voted to leave the European Union. They think it's a mistake, and what they want to do is basically not just have a second referendum if it comes down to that, but they want to make sure that that second referendum is so biased in favour of remaining that they remain in the European Union. And the problem is, now what they've seen is the best way to start that process is to basically delay absolutely everything. Theresa May would like to bring her bill back for a third vote next week. This particular amendment coming from Letwin and the like is likely to postpone that happening, not just for this week and for next week, but for probably the rest of March, which means that March the 29th becomes a significantly less important date as far as leaving the European Union is concerned, when at the moment, under the law, it is still a no-deal Brexit on March the 29th, regardless of what they talk about inside Parliament. Dipper says this, a completely pointless Brexit Article 50 debate where the same speeches will be recycled. They should just get on and vote, as we all know what the answer is. Here's one from Legally, who says, what idiot thought the exact same benefits would be obtained outside the European Union? The Green Party is an irrelevance to debate. That's talking about Caroline Lucas, who was here earlier on talking to us about how she believes the only way through this particular impasse is to have a second referendum. Laker says, the Remain are sat waiting to see if their democracy fails them. If we have another referendum, there will be uproar and will split the country into bits, order out of chaos, the 1% call it. And Samantha says, Ray, your earlier comment, I agree that much of the British public, myself included, don't understand the full ramifications to trade, etc., of a no-deal Brexit. Considering that, perhaps next week is now the time to vote Mrs. May's deal through. Well, I think a lot of people are beginning to think that way, and that is why it's very possible that if there is a vote next week, Theresa May's deal may, in fact, get the nod. But let's go to the phones now, because Peter is in Folkestone and wants to talk to us. Peter, a very good afternoon to you.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very well, sir. Sun's shining. You know, what could be better? Spring is in the air.
Oh, mate, I'm spitting feathers. They say that, you know, if you don't learn your history, then you stand ready to repeat the same errors of the past. Mm.
Yeah.
Well, 100 years ago, the Irish people were fighting against the British, and then the guns were put down, and the Irish people sent half of their crowd over to negotiate a treaty, and they went back with a treaty for the Free State. At which point, the the Irish Provisionals then started fighting the Free Staters, and they had civil war in Ireland for the next 3 or 4 years because they couldn't argue over the treaty with the third party between themselves.
Right.
What Mrs. May's deal is doing is killing Brexit. And it was as, oh, no, it's the only way to start. But it's not, because it's splitting the Brexit vote between the no dealers and the take any deal that we can get at the daytime, right? Which means that there's only one solid block left, which is Remain. So unless we just let the clock run out until the 29th of March and leave, as we stand today, we're knackered.
And that's still possible, even though the amendments which are going through today might make that more difficult. Technically speaking, unless legislation is empowered and brought in, you know, we can still leave without a deal on March the 29th regardless. But I don't think there's much of an appetite for it politically. That's the problem.
Well, I think the simple thing, for, you know, Theresa May could do one good thing for the country, which is go away, catch a cold, retire to bed and stay shut the hell up for the next 2 weeks. And just let the clock run out. Because if she doesn't, then I believe strongly that we will have, that Brexit won't be an option. Because if we split the Brexit vote into the dealers versus the no dealers, then we lose the momentum that we've got to date, and it's all back in the washing machine, and we're nadged.
Well, so are you saying what we should really do is just shut up shop and just say, right, the Houses of Parliament are now closed, put a big yellow ribbon around it like they do to a crime scene, and don't let anybody in?
Well, but, well, wouldn't that be a joy? I mean, we'd save ourselves a lot of
things. We found the answer, Peter.
Yeah, I would. You know, flat out straight, wouldn't you like to be back in the studio rather than sitting in that damn tent?
No, I love it. No, because the weather's getting better now. It's going to be really nice in the next few weeks. I'm quite happy to come down here every day. But there's no question about it. We're onto something here, because you could also argue that a massive crime has been committed inside that building behind me, and it's time to rope it off and declare it a crime scene and let nobody walk in there.
God bless your heart, Mike.
I think it's a great answer. Thank you very much, Peter in Folkestone. Let's talk to Mike, who's in York. Hello, Mike.
Hey, afternoon, Mike.
Afternoon,
that's
sir. What do you got for
idea,
us?
That. Lose the keys.
Well, either that or just lock them all in and take away all means of communication.
Well, I think the guy had it there as well, though. Best idea is for Corbyn now to put in no confidence vote. I mean, let's face it, Rudd's going to vote for no confidence in the government because she's shown her hands with the rest of the weasels.
The problem, though, with that, Mike, is that Corbyn could have put a no-confidence motion in today. He could have put that amendment in today and hoped that Burko would have passed it, but he hasn't.
Well, he can just stand up and just say, you know, I have no confidence and I call a no-confidence in the people. Or the Scottish National Party can do that. Any of them can do it. And the beauty of it is then May's got to go, Parliament is shut down for 14 days.
Yeah, only if she loses.
Well, she's got to go and find another government. So she's got to go and find people that everybody's happy with. And she can't do it in 14 days.
Only if she loses. I mean, if she loses the vote, yes. But if she wins the vote, and you can't really... I mean, despite how crazy you might say the ERG group are in terms of wanting one thing and being single-minded about it, they are not going to, you know, like be turkeys voting for Christmas and shoot themselves in the foot and leave government, are they?
Well, I know that's what they've done over the last 3 days. Not ERG, but all the rest of them. They've all voted against the government or sat and abstained.
Mm-hmm. It's just well, they haven't all, though. But my point is that you wouldn't necessarily put a, you know, join the Labour Party and put a vote of no confidence through about your own leader. Surely not.
Well, the main thing is that when if Corbyn did get in, just think about it. It couldn't do anything because we didn't vote for that. We didn't vote for this. We'll have 2 years before he can even take up office.
Mm. It's an absolute shambles, Mike.
It's couldn't make it up, could you?
You really couldn't.
My dog's breakfast.
I mean, just when you thought... I mean, I said that at the top of the show. Just when you thought it couldn't get any more ridiculous, you know, it got more ridiculous.
Well, it got more ridiculous when they got a £2,000 pay rise.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing that was ridiculous. Yeah, the other bit was, of course, the criminal Labour, former Labour Party MP who walks through the same lobby to vote as Dominic Grieve, the former Attorney General.
Yeah, she's probably...
You know.
Well, she's a solicitor, though, isn't she?
Well, that's the main... Well, I'm rather hoping she's been struck off, having now got a criminal record.
No, only 13 months. That's why she only got 3 months. They were very clever on that one.
No, yeah, well, you know, God bless the lawyers. There's far too many of them, in my view. But listen, Mike, thank you very much indeed. And thanks to all of you who called in. We haven't got any more time, I'm afraid, for any more calls. But we will be back tomorrow. We won't necessarily be back down here, though, because normally Fridays is a day off for the parliamentarians. They go back to their constituencies and prepare to govern, or whatever it is they call it these days. But I think we've come up with the best idea so far. Declare the Houses of Parliament a crime scene. Close all the doors, throw everybody out, put a big yellow police tape around it and tell them they can't come back in until March 29th, by which time we will have left the European Union by default. This is the Independent Republic of Mike Graham. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB, the Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
So if you enjoyed that, be sure to catch the whole show 10 to 1, Monday to Friday on Talk Radio, via DAB, online or via the Talk Radio app. If you have an opinion on the stories we cover, we'd love to hear from you. Call us 0344 499 1000 or tweet at Talk Radio during the show to have your say.
The Independent Republic of Mike Graham on Talk Radio.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.